Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
Testing, testing. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in prayer, Lord God. We thank you for this moment, this time of inspiration, this time to build momentum. Lord God, we ask that you cover us, each person in this room. Lord God, we ask that you give us the wisdom and knowledge that we need. We ask that everyone that is listening is able to receive the messages that we are coming across today, Lord God. But overall, Lord God, I ask for you to be able to heal the minds and the souls of the world, Lord God. Lord God, I ask that you give each other, each person, each soul in this world, Lord God, the direction that is needed, Lord God. You're more needed than ever, Lord God. I know your ears are ringing and your ears are burning, Lord God. But as we rise in leadership, Lord God, give us the strength to be able to lead in your word, Lord God. Be able to give us the leadership to be able to give you the all honor and praise, Lord God. There's a lot of people in this world, Lord God, that don't understand what it is that we're going through right now, Lord God. But as this show is forming, Lord God, we know it's of you, Lord God. Lord God, we know that all our steps are ordered, Lord God. We know that everything we do is of you, Lord God. And as this show starts, Lord God, we give you the will, Lord God. We give you the honor, Lord God. And as you give us our direction, Lord God, let it be so. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So,
ready?
I'm ready. Enslavement. Remember, we was talking about that last show. So we're going to do this in reverse. So we're going to go live on this one and just drop that one on Saturday for sure.
Okay.
And so we're going to talk about the releasement of the slave mentality, not understanding, you know, the rights of voting, what our ancestors fought for. Then we'll plug you in with what you got going on at some point in the show.
I'm going to let y'all do my thumb, just going.
We're going to definitely bring you in.
Well, I'm teaching myself how to listen without interrupting. And
she be on go.
I'm going. But I'm teaching myself to, it's okay to have something to say, but wait till your turn and not be so winded.
So how can I give you
one target on listening? Sure.
I just go on Facebook, right? Pow. Share to.
Do you have a picker?
I don't know. More
on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just sent it easy.
Yeah.
Just sent it easy for now.
So it's in my messenger, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just tagging away. 2 minutes. So, it's going to, you know, where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And,
how do I? Are you tagging me in that? Yeah, I know you sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tag me into it? Because how do I move that from my messenger?
You said right now?
Hungry.
Yeah. I ain't ate yet. Did you get it?
I got it in messenger. I'm not sure how to move it from messenger.
Open it.
Oh, I was doing it the wrong way.
And then you'll share. Now I'll share it now to your page. You shared it to your page already.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to tag people, groups. Yeah. And then you share it to your group that you want to share it to. We got 29 seconds, guys. Okay. 15. It's your turn, your volume off. All right, 5 seconds. All right, here we go. Oh, and y'all know about the thing that happened in Atlanta, right?
Right.
Okay, so cool. Anybody know the gentleman's name? What's up, everybody? It's that time again. Boss Lady Lee in the building, and guess what? I got even more guests. You know, everybody knows the Reverend Pastor James Purnell, right? He's back in the building, and guess what? We got another guest in the building today, and we got Miss V. Thomas. Everybody knows her from on the north side at Dynasty Cuts. So here we are once again bringing it to you guys live and giving y'all nothing but the information that is needed and the conversations that everybody is having in their homes. So we're bringing it to the internet so that way everybody can hear what's going on. And I'm going to ask the questions that most people don't want to ask, okay? So we know that it's like a spiritual warfare going on. We also know that it's like a civil rights war going on. We know that it's a lot of things political that's going on. And we want to just bring it to the table. Man, how y'all doing this morning?
Heartbroken, frustrated, angry, a fluster of emotions.
I got you. I got you.
I'm grateful to be alive.
Hey, I know that's right. So I want y'all to look on this screen, right? Y'all see voice your opinion. That means you could call in live and we could hear what you got going on. We could answer your questions. We could pull off of your topics if you have one and you want to give us one. So we're going to start having more and more interactions with you guys every day, each time that we talk to you. So one of the biggest things that I want to bring to the table today is breaking that enslavement mind, that slave mentality that a lot of us have had over generations from generation to generation. And, man, one of the biggest things I saw this weekend was the thing that happened in Atlanta. Man, they had a young man that was sleeping in his car, and they ended up calling the police on a young man, and the young man ended up getting shot. Now, I ain't going to say he was wrong because I understand he was wrestling with the police and pulled the taser or whatever. But at the end of the day, man, they ended up killing this man and shooting him in the back. Now, I know if I shot somebody in the back, I'm going to jail, right?
Exactly.
So now we got the police shooting and killing another young black man, right? And they ended up turning around, burning down the Wendy's in Atlanta. Hey, Atlanta, y'all showed out with burning down that Wendy's. Let's just be honest.
Wow.
So with that, they ended up burning down Wendy's. And then they ended up marching, shutting down traffic. And I know I showed the live and I talked to people about the live. And we ended up doing a few things with the live. And I got a little controversial with a few people. And while we was getting controversial with a few people, it was like, okay, this has to be talked about on the show. So what I'm going to do is I really want you guys to give me y'all input, because I know we was talking about it before the show started, right? How did y'all feel about that? Go ahead, V. He pointed at you.
Well, I watched it last night when I watched it when you were posting it. And,
okay.
When I read the whole story and listened to the whole story, I feel neither one of them were right. But that was no cause for a man to be murdered. A taser
okay.
is not a lethal weapon. And you had his driver's license, so for you to shoot him in the back when you could have later on went and apprehended the gentleman, I don't understand. I don't understand why it's got to be so crucial when it comes to us as a melanin people. I don't get it.
How you felt about that, Mr. Parnell?
A lot of ways.
He said, a lot of ways.
So, number one, that situation can be handled so many different ways that would have preserved Mr. Rashad's life.
Right.
Again, a taser is not a lethal weapon.
Right.
And so even if the man felt that his life was threatened, Mr. Rashad was running away.
Right.
He could have shot him in the leg to wound him or something, to injure him, to stop him so they can apprehend him. But, wow, the man was sleeping in his car in the drive-thru. I mean, is that what we are resorting to as it relates to enough to take a person's life?
Right, right.
I mean, and I'm just flustered. I'm angry. I'm disappointed, heartbroken. There's a lot of emotions that are arising as it relates to these things. And not shortly after another brother.
Right.
Who loses his life because an officer refused to take his knee off of his neck.
Right.
And we have countless others that has transpired within the, 21 days of these protests.
Yes.
And it's constantly happening. And it's just appalling as it relates to how we value Black lives.
Right. And let's talk about Black lives, right? Starbucks ended up, you know, first they said they workers couldn't wear Black Lives Matter, right? Everybody knows that, right? And then they turned around less than 2 days, 48 hours, and retracted it and said, oh, all our employees can go ahead and wear Black Lives Matter. So it was like once that black dollar was getting affected by a statement, they want to retract what they said, like we really didn't mean it. But we have to stay focused and realize that they did mean it. And just because they apologize, that doesn't mean we need to rush back to them. Has anybody ever thought about starting their own black Starbucks? It don't got to be called Starbucks, but it could be called Black Bucks. I don't know. You know what I mean? But it's like we have to really put ourselves in a mindset that just because they might give us a little doesn't mean that we got to be so forgiving and so forthcoming. I mean, I'm a Starbucks drinker. I love Starbucks. I was like, man, Starbucks? Not Starbucks. Like, y'all really going to do this today? Not today. So it's something that we have to make sure that in our mind that we don't allow people to, one, disrespect us, and then, two, take us and put us in a realm where it's like, oh, they'll forgive us, but we'll keep stepping on their feet. We'll keep putting our knees in on their neck. You get what I'm saying? We'll keep treating them a certain way to where if we say we sorry, it'll all be forgiven. And that brings me to us breaking the chains of our generational curses, of the slave mentalities. Because a lot of people would say, you know, I grew up like this. My mom didn't teach me this. My dad didn't teach me this. I don't know how to change my, you're hungry and you don't know how to cook. You'll eventually figure out how to make you a meal, right?
Exactly.
I'm just saying, it's the truth. So we can't hold on to what we don't know when we have all the tools around us to go ahead and find what it is that we need.
Right.
So I'm going to take this next question to you, Pastor. I just always call you Mr. Purnell. You get what I'm saying? I got to call this man pastor, give him his title, give him everything he done earned. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I just want to know, as a black man, as a pastor, you know, everything that's going on, brother, how did you break? Because we can't, our show is limited. We can't go into your whole background in detail. But how did you break that generational curse? How did you break that slave mentality? Because where we come from, when our eyes is closed and we don't know what's going on, we're not wicked yet. We don't have an understanding yet. So how, with everything that's going on, how did you break that?
Born and raised in New Orleans, lower mm-hmm. Ninth Ward, it was three things that was going to happen to a black male.
Okay.
They were either going to sell drugs, they were going to be incarcerated, mm-hmm. or they was going to die. Even though I participated in two of those, I didn't want to stay in that. That wasn't the life of me.
Right,
and,
right.
I'll never forget it. This teacher, language art teacher by the name of Miss Cora Lowe. My dad had just passed, and I was in the eighth grade, and she looked at me and said, "That's not you."
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what she mean, but she had an opportunity to see my report card from the previous year, and it was all F's.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me. That moment stuck with me because mm-hmm. she looked deeper beyond the surface of who I was
mm-hmm.
and pushed me and everything to become better in all my doing and all my being.
Got you.
I wanted to not end up in a particular situation that I've seen so many of my friends and family end up in.
Got you.
And I've always endeavored to try to put myself and my family in a better position, a better situation, a better way of life that didn't subject me to the stereotypes.
Right.
As an individual boy growing up in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay. Now, V, I got to ask you the same question because you know Mississippi, right?
Arkansas, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know I got to get it right. I got to get it right.
A little bit of both cultures.
Okay, so as a black female, right, how did you break your generation curse and your slave mentality?
Well, mine started from me being younger mm-hmm. with just showing love, you know, to each other and my family.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was the only one who told us that she loved us verbally.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, he showed love by, when we passed by his chair, he would pop us on our butts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was his way of showing love. It took me to take it on myself to tell my mom verbally I loved her. And when I first told her, it was a shock to her, and she had a response to that because in our black families, we're not naturally shown to show
right.
love.
Right.
And as I started breaking that curse of telling my mom I love her, the first time she told it back to me verbally, you could tell that she was uncomfortable with it.
Right.
You know, she knew she loved me, but verbally saying it was a different thing.
Gotcha.
And so with that, with me telling her that, that also broke the curse with my brother, where now it's okay to say I love you. So with my children, I walked through the door. My kids automatically, "Mommy, I love you." I'm
mm-hmm.
getting kisses and hugs. So it's a big difference from how I grew up to how my family is now. So the things, I didn't have a bad childhood, but the things that I lacked in my childhood, I tried to influence into my adulthood and with my family now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just starting off with those small things, you know.
Like, one of the biggest things that I'm glad that you said what you just said. You know, I had to tell my mother I love her, right? And one of the biggest things in our community, I think we're, you know, a lot of them come from single family homes in our community, and our structure might have been, oh, this parent was too hard on me, or this parent didn't tell me she loved me enough, or this, my father never hugged me, I didn't see him enough, or, you know, whatever the case may have been. But in the black community, we always have a lot of skeletons.
Yes. Yes.
Right? We have a lot of skeletons. And sometimes, you know, I'm going to go there. I always got to give him the warning. But we have a lot of skeletons. And what we hide behind is the word of God. I know this to be true. Now, y'all will stop me if I'm wrong. Y'all guests on the
I'm
show, but y'all can say,
hey, I'm
coaching
wrong, baby.
Say more about
hiding. What I'm saying is there'll be a lot of different things that will happen in the household, and we would try to blanket our kids, go to church, live right with God. Don't worry about this. Just pray. It'll go away. God's going to work it out. You have black people, especially when it comes to I'm sick. They said I have cancer. You know, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm going to just go to the church. But if you go to the doctor, you're still supposed to pray and go to church and have your faith, but you still need to get that medical attention too. You get what I'm saying? So it's certain things. Yes, I know your granddaddy was raping you, but we ain't going to bring that and we ain't going to say that to nobody. We just going to pray about it. And we're going to let it go. Let go, let God deal with him. No. We need to call the police and let the police deal with him. And we still going to keep our faith. You get what I'm saying? So it's like we have to break certain issues. We have to break certain disagreements or underlying statements that we have within our culture, because a lot of people don't want to talk about that. And when it comes, you know, I always got to use it because you're the pastor, you know what I'm saying? And I know these are things that you have naturally had to deal with within the church or within, you know, talking and ministering to someone. So how is it that you work through those things when a person has a lot of family hurt because the skeletons in the closet was never let loose?
Well, first of all, let me say God is a healer. By his stripes, we're healed.
Yes, sir.
But God put doctors in place for a reason, too. And so go get medical attention and help seek that out.
Right.
Part of your healing.
Right.
Counselors are very, very important as it relates to processing family hurt, internal rage, et cetera. Again, as we've talked about so many times before, we perpetuate. We have psychological things that we carry over from generation to generation to generation as it relates to slavery.
Right.
Right? Our masculine men were being raped.
Right.
Right? And their
right.
families, their wives had to watch it. Right.
Right.
Just so slave master can show that he was in power.
Right.
They didn't talk about that. That was shameful. It was hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
It brought about a particular type of stigma on the name of the family, so they kept it hushed. Yes, there's molestation that goes on in families.
Right.
That they keep on the hush. Yes, pray for him and da-da-da-da-da. But let me say, that person who does that particular type of molestation to a child also need to be held accountable, and it shouldn't be a situation. Yes, you can forgive. Yes, God will take care of them, but I believe that they should be held to a particular type of accountability, and there should be a particular type of punishment because they violated a child or someone who was vulnerable because they put their trust in an adult who took advantage of them or some other person who took advantage of them. We need to talk about these things. Because if we don't talk about these things will continue to compound and cause greater hurt in other generations and cause. And so we have people who are resonating with elements of unforgiveness for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and don't realize that they are a hindrance to their own blessing.
Right.
Forgiveness is not necessarily for the other person. It's for you to move on and be able to go on and be and do whatever God has in store for you. But it doesn't dismiss the action of the other person as it relates to that trauma, that hurt, that psychological impression that it has put up on your consciousness. And so we need to talk about these things because these things they are part of who you are, right? In many instances, they are the reason why you are. And if you don't have a healthy medium by way you can process these particular things, whether it be through church, whether it be through professional counseling, whether it be through whatever, some type of group, whatever it is, and we don't have the mediums to be able to talk about these particular things, then we do ourselves, our family, a disservice. And so then now they only perpetuate the hurt that they have experienced.
Okay. And I'm glad you said that. Now, a lot of people are hurt by talking about their experiences. A lot of people don't know how to actually express how they feel anymore, right? But look at our younger generation. Look at the allies that are out there marching with everybody now, right? All of these people are out here pushing and probing and marching, and now the teapot is boiling over, right? We all can agree with that. So do you think, and I've posed this question to B, do you think now people don't have the hush anymore? Or do you think now that people are so angry and frustrated that they can't take it anymore?
We're just tired, you know. I can't say that I've been directly affected by it, but I did a video when this thing first happened, and I never thought that it affected me the way it did, because it's not a direct effect. But it does, because every day I walk around in this skin tone that I love so much, you know. I never want to be nothing but what I am. And I think it's time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really time for us to be consistent, not give up on what, don't allow them to give us a couple of things, a little bit of justice, a taste of justice, and then we're good. I think at this point, we not only as a nation coming together, it's the world that's coming together, and it's this moment now that we have the opportunity to really, really make change. Not just in one place, but all over the world in different nationalities who've also been enslaved and who also been treated unfairly. Yes, it's about the Black Lives Matter. Yes, it's about us. We're the root, you know. But at the same time, it's all of us together that's going to make this happen, that's going to make this move. It couldn't be us by ourselves that would get the attention that we're getting. They wouldn't care if it was just the Black community. But because we have all these other allies that are truly there that want, we just want peace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we just want peace, and we're
equality.
Tired. We're tired. I hate that I drive my car, and when a police pull behind me, knowing that I'm not doing nothing wrong, I get butterflies in my stomach. I shouldn't feel that way. I should feel like he's behind me, so if something happens, I know he got me. Not that I'm going to die, or would this be my last? You see, and it should never be that way. So I think right now is the time to change, and right now is the time to be consistent, and right now is the time to educate yourself, because at this time, I have been more educated now within the quarantine and within what's going on now in the movement than I have been in my life.
Man, we got people that are just chiming in, giving messages, and I want to read a few of them if I could here. Mr. Coleman, I want to say, because I do not want to mess up your first name, but said, most churches are ill-prepared to take care of the community. This was not the case in the past. The church was the go-to for help, but now it's not anymore. That's his statement. I know. I want you to hold on to it. Oh, he ready. So then our next question came from Mr. Winston. He said, a lot of people are afraid to divulge what really has them in bondage to face their giant. And I totally agree with that, because it's one thing to walk around and not see your reflection, but it's another thing when you look in that mirror, because then you got to face exactly what it is that's bothering you. And I always challenge people, when you wake up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror. I don't care if you got to cry about it. I don't care if you can laugh at it. I don't care what's going on with you. But you always got to face yourself.
Face yourself.
You get what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't want to do that anymore. A lot of people walk around here thinking they
don't think.
They walking around like, right.
I was
going to go in. Y'all know. I'm not delivered yet, but I'm trying. So the next question, statement that came in, the buildup makes things worse. A lot of times we carry weight because we are scared to let it out. And then Mr. Winston said, and that came from Ms. Sawyer, but Mr. Winston also said, your soul is tired because of all this stuff. You know, we got a lot of things that's going on in the world that people don't know. You're getting fed this through Facebook.
Facebook would have you wake up and you felt good. You done said your morning prayer. Now all of a sudden, guess what? You angry again, and ain't nothing happened to you yet.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? This is one of the biggest reasons why I always talk about, well, what is it that the church is doing? Well, how can we wear the leaders at? What is it that we can do? And one of the biggest things that my bishop said, everybody is a leader. Even when you think you're not a leader, you're a leader. Because there's somebody that's listening to you, even when you don't think they listening. Because you might have that kid that's sitting under the table while you and your friends talking, sucking in everything y'all talking about, sucking it all in. So we have to understand this went from a car seat to now we getting it professionally done to the point where it's like a voice needs to be heard, because we as a community has to come together. Before the show started, we was talking about Gateway. We was talking about, you know, River City. We was talking about the town center. We were talking about how they spoon feed us a little bit and we happy with a little bit, but they have it all. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, as leaders, we have to figure out a way, in a better way, to carry our voice, to make our voices be heard, to be able to build up our communities. You get what I'm saying? We got to be able to not tolerate the people that don't really want to tolerate us. You get what I'm saying? So I want to propose a question to you guys and see what y'all think about this. So y'all ready? I'm waiting on y'all to tell us y'all ready. I know they ready because they live. You get what I'm saying? I'm talking to my guests looking down at their phones like, who you talking to? I don't know who you talking to. So the biggest thing is, okay, and here's the question. And we said that we was talking about slave mentality, right? With your platforms that each of us hold, mm-hmm. how are you pushing your leadership onto the people who you all have control and hands on? And I won't say control. Y'all have influence with. How are you using your platform to influence the people that walk through your doors? And I'll go to V, because one thing about V, V fit to tell y'all about something she got going on this Friday. I'm so excited.
Juneteenth.
So go ahead, V, take it away.
I'm going to try to make it short. I've always heard about Juneteenth, but I've never really understood the concept of it or what it meant. And so I had to educate myself and still learn about it. But Juneteenth, I want to start using that as a monumental time in my business, as to where it's around the time as to where we're getting ready to vote. And I know a lot of children, a lot of kids, young kids, they feel like they want to be a part of something, but they don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
on Juneteenth, I will have at the shop as to where we're going to be cooking, we're going to be feeding people, drinks, music, we're going to have a raffle. And all I want is for you to invite those 18, 19, older people, young people, for everybody who has not registered to vote to come through. We're going to try to have some computers set up, as many as possible, to where y'all come through. We're going to have people who are going to assist you and need help to actually register to vote. We need our young people to vote. And my biggest thing is, a lot of our kids feel like they can't accomplish anything, or they're not a part of the system or the society. But imagine when you get those young people who probably haven't graduated high school and feel like they're not able to vote. If you have an ID, yes, you can vote. And so my thing is, when you give kids something and allow them to be involved in something, and it gives them some type of pride.
Right,
it makes
right.
them feel like they're a part of something. So that this year is our first event, and this is what I want to do for our community on the north side, and that goes on Jacksonville. Please come out and support us. I don't know how big it's going to be, how small it's going to be. I've also invited the news. I don't know if you're going to come and show up or not, but it's not even about that. It's about the movement. It's about making change, whether they're big changes or small changes. That's what I'm about doing.
Now, before you start, Mr. Purnell, because I know you was ready to take off, I want to ask something just to piggyback off of V's thing. How important, and I got to look at the camera, how important is it to vote locally and nationally? So take it from there.
So your local voting,
uh-huh.
right? We say go down and vote, and that's typically around the presidential candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't push as hard and as much about our local platforms and our
right.
local leaders who are representing us
mm-hmm.
when they go to Washington, D.C. So we have to be intentional about the ground roots of our local leaders, right, and making sure that we have leaders who represent our best interests, our best concerns
mm-hmm.
that go on Capitol Hill and press those particular issues, not for their own agenda, but for the people that they represent.
Right.
As it relates to using platforms, Pastor Mike John Emmy Church in Green Cove Springs, it was once said that a leader should have, or a preacher should have, the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other.
Mm.
That is said because a preacher needs to be relevant and speak to current situations, right? How is the Bible applicable to our everyday living, our current situations
Correct.
And time?
Correct.
And so the preaching and the teaching is reflective of where we are in the time, right? I create spaces and avenues where people can be able to deal with some of those hurts and pains and things that they don't feel or believe that they can talk about
mm-hmm.
and get them resolved with. I open the church and the platform up, the building itself, quote unquote, because I believe in the church of the community.
Mm-hmm.
If a church is going to be the beacon of light in the community, it needs to be reflective of the community. It needs to have some representation of every aspect of the community within and around the four walls of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think using your platform is relevant, wherever that platform is, to speak about injustice, to speak about equality, to speak
mm-hmm.
about peace, to speak about equal rights, regardless to your differences or opinions. I believe that we have enough in common
right.
that we can come to the table and not let our differences override our commonalities.
Right.
And so I'm galvanizing people, bringing them to the table, talking about issues that plague us, systemic issues that plague us as a race, helping other ethnicities come aware, be consciously awakened, right? So they may also use their voice to speak to some of these systemic issues.
And I have one more thing to piggyback off. If we can, I'm challenging all businesses, especially barbershops, because that's where my passion is, that's where my heart is, all businesses, not just in Jacksonville, but all over the nation, set up a computer. It's nothing for a young person to come and sit in your chair and you to ask them, you talk about everything else. Ask them, have they registered to vote? And if not, show them how to, you know? And even with that, in November, whether we're going to have mail-in ballots or whether we're going to have to go somewhere to vote, it's nothing to have a couple of vehicles where kids can get to those locations to where
right.
they say, hey, this day, this time, we'll be at this location. We're going to get everybody together and we're going to ride to vote. It takes nothing. It doesn't mean you have to spend no money. You don't have to do anything. It's that easy. So I'm challenging all barbershops, especially in my area, to make it so where your young people that come to sit in your chairs and lay everything on you, everything that's going on in their life, take time out to make sure that they're registered.
Now, one of the biggest things is, and y'all know this to be true, a lot of people don't think that their votes matter anymore. A lot of people don't even think anything that they try to do is even heard. So what we want you guys to understand and what we want you all to know is make your voice heard. Remember back in the day, man, them people marched. They marched. They stood. Even if they were rejected, they still marched again to make sure we had the right to be able to vote. Y'all get what I'm saying? Women couldn't vote at all. And they marched and they stood. And then it came to pass where we became able to vote. So if you just sit back and do nothing, then guess what's going to happen in the world? Nothing will happen. But if we get all together, if we get together, we gather together, we pray together, we love together, we believe what each other is talking about, we can change and move mountains. One of the biggest things that hurt me today is the simple fact of seeing so much negativity in the world. How can you focus? How can you build? How can you do anything in your life if everything around you is so negative? You get what I'm saying? It's like we're being spoon-fed negativity and we got to go shop at the best health food store to get positive things.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And it deteriorates my spirit sometimes. I could be on a high and then it all of a sudden come down to a low once I lost log into my phone. And it kills me to hear when my young people say, oh, my voice doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It kills me when I see the looting. You get what I'm saying? It kills me when I see the burning of buildings. But I understand that it's the frustration. And when I stand up in church, when I'm sitting and I'm praising God and I'm thinking about what the messages on the teachings are on that Wednesday, and my prophetess and my bishop, they're saying if you can't eat once a day, you can't spiritually feed yourself once a day. And I look at those things and I think in my mind, man, so many people need to hear this. So many people need to see this. So many people just have to learn how to believe again. But we have lost our faith. We have lost our will to even have favor at times. People think it's all about a mighty dollar. It ain't about the dollar. You get what I'm saying? It's not about that anymore. We have to find a way to be able to say, hey, let's sit down, let's congregate, and let's build. We were talking about protesting earlier. Everybody's protest and everybody's war works a little bit differently. Some people is willing to be on that front line and some people are not. Some people want to do like what V got going on. Some people do what like what you got going on. So how do we change the mindsets of our community with, you know, giving them a little bit of word? Because the spiritual side of things is crazy right now. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a battle that's going times 10. And Mr. Winston said, I had to look down at my phone real quick. He said, all black men, fathers, uncles, cousins, let's stand up and be the proud men. And to our strong black women, thank you for everything you have done in our absence. Like, let's just be real.
Well, I think, Lisa, you dismissed the fact of why people feel the way that they feel. Whether
okay.
it be about voting, whether it be about just dismiss it to a point as if we don't have a valid reason to feel like that.
Okay.
Young people have had time and time again reveal to them why they feel that their vote don't matter,
mm-hmm.
right? Trump has shown us firsthand that an election can be rigged, the voting process by which we do
right
in America
right.
because of our democracy can be rigged.
Right.
Right? And so I understand why young people say my vote don't matter. I also understand the premise of why people wanted to vote and why they fought to vote and why they shedded blood to vote and marched and protest just to have a right to vote, because your voice matters. Your collective voice and your individual voice matters. Even if you do not see the change on a larger scale, just to have impact in some aspect of another is a testament that your voice matters. It doesn't dismiss the fact that you feel this way, but let me educate you on why. And then I appreciate Ms. B's point as it relates to the education. Let me educate you on why your voice matters. Let me show you the necessary steps starting from the local level to how, if we had a collective voice, to penetrate even at the higher levels, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, it is a spiritual warfare, to the brother's point. Yes, it is a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a physical warfare. It's an emotional warfare. It's a psychological warfare. It's a warfare on all spectrums, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have to be intentional about engaging in that particular type of warfare, not just on one aspect, but all levels. It's as if we get super, super spiritual, but never deal with the physical or the emotional aspect of it. Going back to your point, someone molested is at home. Let's get super, super spiritual about it and pray about it, da, 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 da. Well, we never deal with the psychological, physical, and emotional situation that is happening in that person. So we can't just deal with it on one level. We have to deal with it on all levels, and it's going to take all leaders,
mm-hmm.
not just faith-based leaders, but all leaders. People need to be the change that they want to see. And if they're intentional about being the change that they want to see, that will catapult them into a aspect of leadership like never before. And when you galvanize all these particular leaders together, then you can have a powerful voice and a powerful impact on all of the different levels that we need to be addressing.
And I think you make a good point. When a person has been violated, You have to remember, sweeping it under the rug doesn't help. This is the biggest thing. If right here is wounded, nothing else falls into place. So a lot of times we think we always have to physically condition. We always have to take care of the physical man. But if you don't take care of this, what is the rest of it?
Right.
What good is the rest of your body if this is not taken care of first?
Right.
And a lot of times us as a black community, we don't feel like therapy is, that's not for us. But I'm a product of therapy, and
yes,
I did it for my own being. And I have to say, I have grown tremendously as a person because
right
now it's not about you going in and talking to somebody. When you're going to therapy, you're talking to yourself, but you hear yourself.
Right.
You
right
see what I'm saying? It's like looking in the mirror.
Right.
And so when a person has been violent and hurt, that's a wound that you can't just put a Band-Aid on it that's oozing.
So
it has to be fixed.
So how do we fix our current situation? Because as a community, as a race, we have been violated and hurt for centuries. Let's just be honest. And we're watching it. Before Facebook Live started, you didn't see it all. You just heard about it. Now we're actually seeing young men are driving in their cars and they jump out and run. They're getting gunned down. And the police are saying, oh, that's going to be a closed casket. Or when, I mean, let's just be honest. We're going to keep it 100, right? We're watching when people are running away from being asleep in their car and they being gunned down and shot in the back. We're watching where young women are saying, officer, I just give me my ticket. And then the next day, a day later, they're dead.
Or you telling them to grab for their wallets
and they get
shot.
You get what I'm saying? Or you got, or just like the men, we watched for 8 minutes. For people standing there saying he cannot breathe. Let him up. Let him go. And then you have people that were saying, oh, well, instead of videotaping, why wouldn't you just go ahead and help him? People are afraid to go to jail. People don't want to lose their lives too. So it's like it's a double-edged sword. Do you tape this and record and document what's going on, or do you sit around and go ahead and jump on the police and it end up being a law thing situation? I don't know what you want to call it. It end up turning into something bigger than what it already was going to be anyway. So how do we heal? And I don't think it's one therapist that's going to be able to heal all these wounds. But what I'm saying and that's true, but how, as leaders, as church members, church goers, how do we heal that pain? Because everybody is still reproducing. They still have more children. The kids are growing up. I sit in the barbershop, and I watch young men saying, oh, I'm not going to date a black girl because black girls are ignorant. They're loud. You get what I'm saying? I see this happen all the time. I see where people are saying, oh, no, they're doing this. I don't want to live in Jacksonville. It's nothing happening there. It's a crap pot. You know, the list can go on of the negative things that we see, but it's positive things that are happening in our city. It's positive things that's happening in the world, but they're overshadowed by the negative things that's happening. You get what I'm saying? People don't want to vote no more because they don't believe in politics anymore. People don't see a lot of the spiritual leaders that should be reaching out, that they feel like should be reaching out, or they're not reaching out enough.
So Leah,
go ahead, brother. Go ahead. I know you get thinking about what I'm saying, and you be ready. So I'm gonna hold it. Think about it. I'm gonna read a person's comment and I'm gonna let you go with it. Oh, we have a caller. We ain't gonna do none of that. Let's get the caller in. Let's see what we got.
I talked. And
right,
I took it up on myself. Somebody called me and said, well, this is what you wanna do. Let's do it. So who am I to say, well, no, I'm just playing. No, I'm not playing. Let's make it happen.
Right.
Let's stop talking. Let's stop being scared of failure, because failure is not failure. It's a way to learn. Learn. Don't take it as failure. It's a learn. You go back to the drawing board. You figure it out, and you get back at it. That's the only way you're going to create this.
But it's just like fear rules, right? Fear rules everything. Fear is embedded in you.
If it
like
don't kill you.
What you say? Like I tell people. People are so scared to walk. People are so scared to try. You can't give up on yourself for the instance. And let me break this down to you guys, ladies and gentlemen. When you was a child, you could not walk. You rolled off the bed a few times. You hit the floor mighty hard. Some hit the floor a little bit too hard. But you couldn't walk. You started crawling. You started pulling up on things. And you still would fall down. What did you do as a child? You got back up. Some parents was rushing to their child's aid as soon as they fall. Then you got another group of parents. They got more seasoned, and they start saying, they'll be all right. Don't pay them no attention. He going to get up. She going to get up. She going to dust herself off. She's going to be okay. But in some way, at some point in your life, you decided to let fear take control of you. A lot of people, just like V said, they know our power. But do we know our power? Do we have understanding that the power that we hold in our hands and in our minds? Because if we understood the power that we had, not the power of a green dollar bill that I'm reprinted and reprinted that probably don't have no value anymore. I'm talking about the power that we truly have in our bodies, in our soul, in our spirit, that we can actually take over the world.
We built for this. We built for this, and we also ready for a black vice president woman. We are ready. This country needs nurturing. It needs guidance. It needs a mother.
She was ready for that.
I'm ready for that. We ready for that. We got women mayors right now ready for it, but it takes us to do it.
My wife said, she said, children don't have that fear at those young ages. Come with living life.
I believe a lot of things that kids face are taught behaviors, learned behaviors. And so racism, learned behaviors. Kids don't just come out of the room hitting each other.
Right.
You can take any kid of any walk of life, put them in the same room, and eventually they're going to be playing with each other. Now, don't get me wrong. That don't mean they won't have any difference of opinion, right? This
oh,
is
yeah.
my toy. This is your toy. But they don't come out the womb like that, right?
Right.
They don't come out the womb naturally fearing, let me say that, what is good.
Right.
They are made or taught by way of seeing consciously and unconsciously things that are etched in their consciousness, and so they perpetuate these things or learn behaviors. The fear is
go ahead
gonna realize,
look in the camera,
the fear is black folks gonna realize and know and come to understanding that what you have whitewashed for so many years is untrue. We understand that we had kings and queens. We understand that we ruled. We understand that we were rich. We understand that we owned. We understand that we were educated. We developed the sciences, the maths, and all of this kind of stuff. And the more people come to understanding of knowing these particular types of truth, then your lie becomes unmasked, and then you become the lesser vessel in this whole thing. And so they want to continue to maintain power and control in the way to do that by imposing fear and fear tactics upon us, or using some of us as public examples to continue to perpetuate that they've been doing for so many years.
Oh, you felt that thing.
And I'm gonna tell you, I have a great example.
Go ahead.
A lot of times you want to make people accountable for something they don't know. You have our kids out here. You have people out here, black people out here, who never left the ghetto, never even seen the other side of their town.
They ain't never even went across the bridge.
Never went anywhere. And it takes out of that bunch. It's not that they don't want to go nowhere. It's the fear, because they never been introduced to anything else. You know, so when you, with out of that bunch, you have a couple that find shit within themselves that I want better. And they'll leave and they'll change their mindset, and they'll change their way of living. And you have to remember, there's no different than a white child growing up and not knowing nothing but prejudice. They don't have the right to believe into nothing but what they're given. So you have all these people coming from up under that tutelage, and now we expect them to treat us a certain way, but all they know is what they've been taught. And it takes you to want better.
It takes you, it's so many white people I've seen online that have lost their mothers and fathers because they have chosen to do the right thing and chosen to be an ally. And I applaud them for that. I'm on nobody's side. I'm on the right side. You see what I'm saying? And for my people. But we have to understand you can't expect better when people don't know better, and you can't make them accountable for something they don't know.
Let me push. A lack of exposure, too. Right? Not only just fear, but a lack of exposure.
Mm.
A lack of exposure for us in the black community is because of a lack of resources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lack of resources because of the systemic issues.
Exactly.
And those who want to continue to maintain power and hold resources give us a taste, but hold resources from the community for us, people like us, to get exposure, to know the difference, to go on the other side of the bridge, the other side of the tracks, the other side of the sea, the other side of the world, to understand that all people are not like this.
Yeah, I got you. I'm following exactly where you're coming from.
All people are not like this. All white people are not like this.
Exactly.
All black people ain't killers and thugs and murderers and rappers.
You got them in all communities.
All people are not like this. And we have those who stand on the side of right, regardless to the color of your skin, regardless to your sexual preference, regardless to your religious preference, regardless to whether you serve Allah, Buddha, regardless to whether you operate in a mode of spirituality and don't use the vehicle of Christianity by way of the church. All people are not like this.
Right.
However, we're getting an exposure of the undercurrent that is the foundation of the structure of the United States.
You're saying that's the undercurrent, but it seems like it's a tidal wave to me. let's be honest. He's saying it's an undercurrent, but it feels like it's a tidal wave.
Wow.
Like we can't even stand in the water.
Wow.
Let's think about this. I mean, the hurt, man. I when I posted that live that was going on in Atlanta, it's a white guy. I can't think of his name right now. I wish I could. And when I tell you, he kept saying things, and every time I post something, he's saying, I'm not trying to come off racist, but they're not talking about this. They're not talking about that. But he what he's not knowing is you're making ignorant comments. That's the issue and the problem. So then I had somebody, a white friend of mine, he called me and he said, he texted me and he said, please delete this person off of your Facebook friends list.
Negative.
Because they getting on my nerves. This is a white man. And he said, I would never try to say that I understand what you all are going through because I am not black. He said, but I'm tired of this injustice. I'm so upset with what's going on right now. I'm so upset with what's happening around you right now. And at the end of the day, it's like, what are we going to do? How can we change this? And I couldn't give him no answer. The only thing that I could say to him was, you know, I'm glad that you're stating these things to me. I understand that you're not like them. I understand that you want me to delete this person, but I cannot delete this person because at the end of the day, I have to expose this person and allow this person to show his ignorance. I have to allow this person to have to go through the things that he's going through. And at the end of the day, we have people that's on our side. We have people that's just ignorant to the facts. We have other people that just think, oh, we're just upset and we want to steal and we want to kill and we want to do this and that. And at the end of the day, that's not true.
Because that's the excuse you're going to give us, but what you're going to give to the Asian people that's allies and some of the white people that's allies. So what are their excuses for being on our side? They're still sorry? Or they've been treated unfairly also.
Hey, they're stating it and how the statement came across. It was the simple fact that we, as the people, are saying that we want justice, but we're out here killing our own people, which is true because it is black on black crime, and that needs to stop. It is true that we want justice, but some of the things that we want justice for, we got to start in our own community. You get what I'm saying? So I want to leave y'all with this. I want y'all to have an understanding where we're coming from, what we're doing. It's not that what we're trying to do. It's happening right now, today. This is happening. And we're going to be here. We're not going to be silent. We're going to stand. We're going to give honor and praise spiritually, emotionally. And we know we're going to build from here. We know we're going to grow from here. So closing out.
hey, I just want to let y'all know we love you. We care for you. You have a voice. You can do all things that you put your mindset to. And once again, we'll see you next time.
All right.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Bishop, what you ate, man?
What you need, man?
That was really good. I appreciate that, man.
Is your stomach upset?
Hey.
Winston.
Hey, what's going on? Hold on, I can't hear you. Hold on. Yeah, what you say? Yeah, I don't. Thank you. I appreciate that. That was really nice. Hey, what's going on? Oh, he was calling to chime in. We're done.
Oh, we're done. I think that's what a few people were trying to do, call myself.
Yeah.